This is the Home Tech Podcast, show number 78, recorded on June 21st, 2012. I am your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live and commercial free from the AverageGuy.tv studios here on a gorgeous and beautiful day here in Bellevue, Nebraska, and posted each week with world-class show notes out at theAverageGuy.tv. You can contact me or the show, just send us an email, podcast@theAverageGuy.tv. Track me down on Twitter. I'm just at Jay Collison. Follow the show on our new Twitter account, just at The Average Guy TV, and I often post, like I'm going to post out when this show is over, that there is no show next week. I'll talk about that here in just a second. But that's where I post when the show times are and what we're talking about. Just follow that on Twitter. It's also right on the top of the live page over at theaverageguy.tv/live. So if you're watching this on YouTube and you want to join us for the live show, we're live each and every week. Not every week because I'll be off next. But we're live most weeks, 8 p.m. Central, over at theaverageguy.tv/live, or there's a big live, this is for Mike Martis, there's a big live word on the site. You can just click that, and it'll take you to the live site. So we also have all the links to automatically download or stream the audio podcast or video podcast to iTunes, YouTube, Zune, Stitcher, many of the other pod catchers available. Having a little trouble talking tonight. On the front page of theaverageguy.tv, and now brand new, you can subscribe to the YouTube video. We're full YouTube at this point, so right after the live show is over, that video takes about 15 minutes, and then it's available on YouTube. I've been downloading it, adding some value to it with some graphics in the front and on the back and a little bit of music, and then we upload it again to YouTube, but it's been a great service. So if you want to subscribe to the video and know when new videos coming out, just head out to YouTube. Sign in with your Google account and go over and just search for The Average Guy Podcast. Of course, you can always find us on YouTube, iTunes, Google Plus, even Facebook by searching The Average Guy Podcast. While you're out there, leave some comments, likes, votes, plus ones, or any of the other helpful social media items that help us move around and move up in the search rankings. We've been talking the last couple weeks about Facebook, and we have a Facebook group as well as a Facebook page. The group did really, really well this week, a whole bunch of posts. If you want to talk about what's going on with The Average Guy, and you want to make, I have to thank Gary Johnson. I mean, he has just been pumping out the articles over there at The Average Guy group. Tim, thanks. Kevin's been jumping in as well. And so if you want to join us over in the Facebook group for all the things that are happening, join us there. Mike Howard as well has been participating in that. You can do it right there. Just search for The Average Guy Podcast and join the group. We do have a page. I do all the announcements out there on the Facebook page. We're just trying to grow those a little bit. If you're out there on the page, hit the like button. Again, that helps with visibility. One short programming note. Next Thursday, we'll be in Colorado, and rather than try and force a podcast, I just get a week off. So everybody gets to take the week off. Christian, Andrew, you guys are off with pay for the week. That's good.
Woohoo! Paid vacation.
Cool. Yeah, paid vacation. In fact, take twice as much as you normally take.
Okay.
And Chris Lux was scheduled for next week. We'll move him down to July 5th, and so he'll have that time doubled up with Gordon. So take a week off. Enjoy some summer hots. If you're here in the United States, some hot, sweltery summer heat, and go do something different than sit around your computer and watch a podcast. All right, with us tonight is most of the regular. Did I just like diss all the guys that listen to the podcast?
I think so.
Well, that's okay. I do too. I listen to about 10 hours of podcasts a week. Sometimes it's good to do something different. I'm just saying, get out and do something different. All right. Joining us tonight, two of the regulars and two guys because we were talking about Surface. Another guy I brought on just as a special. But first, let's introduce Andrew Morse. Of course, Andrew is now the survivor of a magnitude 5.5 earthquake in Melbourne, Australia. Andrew, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well. Yeah, it's a small bit of rumbling and shaking that went on for 20-odd seconds the other night. So,
did you feel it?
Oh, yeah. We've got probably a 4-foot wide sliding glass door in our family room onto our deck, and that probably had a 15 centimeter vibration happening in that window.
All right. Which, so it's moving pretty good.
It's going pretty well. I mean, I can't shake it that much myself because I tried afterwards.
Just to see if that's what it was. If that's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think it upset the cat a bit. And aside from that, no,
No damage. Everything's good. Solar panels are still working. No craziness in Melbourne.
No craziness. A lot around closer to the epicenter, there were a whole bunch of stores that had pretty much everything thrown off the shelves, and you know, a fair bit of damage. But you know, that's part and parcel, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we talked about it over, I think it was Skype.
Yeah.
And I told you I grew up in California. We used to have those all the time. So it was, I was like, oh, well, welcome to, you don't get many earthquakes, do you?
They're becoming more and more common. So whether that's because of what we're doing to the planet or something else, I'm not entirely sure, but they are becoming more frequent.
The east coast of Australia is just going to break off and start floating towards the United States. That's what's next. That's near future. So buy some land in California so you'll have that when you get there. That'll be good. So, okay. Also with us, Andrew, welcome. Also with us tonight, of course, the newest, and we can't even crack the intern jokes anymore because you're kicking butt there at NASA, Christian Johnson. Christian, how's life as an intern?
Life is good. Lots of code has already made its way to the NASA data center, and there's much more to be had, hopefully.
Nice.
So they're trying to keep me busy, and I guess in doing so, we mutually keep each other busy. So
yeah, that's good. That's good. And you're working on some interviews. That's good. We got some stuff coming up here towards the end of the summer, and so it'll be good to have those folks. And it's so welcome. In his regular slot, I guess we can call this regular, John, because you're the regular guy about every 7 or 8 weeks, and joining us in your regular spot, John Stussman. John, how are you?
I'm great. It's a beautiful day here in Illinois. Started out warm. It cooled off with some rain, and now it's relatively cooler this afternoon.
Yeah, it was nice to have that front roll through. We got it last night. You got it today. John, it's coming your way. John Zadler, it's coming your way. Hopefully it'll cool you down. John Zadler, welcome as well. And John's filling in tonight because we didn't have a home server show last night, and I wanted to get John's opinion on the Microsoft Surface. So, John, how you doing?
Doing good, Jim. Thanks for having me. Yeah, that's it. I didn't get enough of my podcasting, speak out. You know, I'm all bottled up with some lingo.
You've got stuff to say. I mean,
I got something to say.
You got to get right to it. So
yeah, don't hold back.
No, he never does. It was kind of weird last night. I almost didn't know what to do with myself. It had been a long time since we've taken a Wednesday night off. And so what did I do? I opened a hangout, just kind of an open hangout to anybody that wanted to join. And we had Mike Howard jump in, and Rennie jumped in, and Tim Black jumped in, and we tried to do some troubleshooting on Tim's stuff. But what would be a Wednesday night without some kind of hangout? And we did that. So anyways, John Zadler, welcome and thanks. Well, of course, the big announcement early in the week, Monday, was Microsoft Surface, or the Microsoft Surface tablet. And there has been some speculation over the last couple of weeks about a device like this. I'm not sure anybody knew exactly what they were going to talk about on Monday at this press conference, a very kind of secretive press conference. I'd heard via the Twitter stream somebody say if they had told the OEMs, because they didn't tell anybody what they were going to do. I mean, it was kept a pretty good secret from most people. If they told the OEMs, the word would have gotten out in about 3 seconds. Was kind of, and I don't disagree. The OEMs have a hard time keeping secrets. Microsoft's OEMs, but Steve Ballmer and his gang got up at the press conference. I think most people who listen to this podcast probably have listened to the press release. If you are really the average guy and you haven't yet heard about Microsoft Surface, stop this podcast right now. Go to YouTube and search for Microsoft Surface Keynote. Listen to that first, and then come back and finish our podcast.
Does that mean I have to leave the show?
Well, Christian, I think you probably know enough to be able to jump in and talk about it. But the announcement is out that Microsoft is kind of officially back in the tablet market, so to speak. Now, to be fair, Microsoft first announced their version of a tablet back in 2002 and struggled with tablets and ultrabooks for the last 10 years. I contend that OEM manufacturers just couldn't get their act together, and Microsoft relied too much on them to get product out, and I think this was a good call for what Microsoft's doing right now by putting out their own device. But they have indeed come out with two separate offerings on the tablet. a Windows RT, which is built on the ARM processor, and I won't bore you with many of the specs that are out there, but just some basic ones, right? A 10.6-inch screen. Use some SD card and USB ports, which are kind of interesting for a tablet. Apple's kind of locked those out. And so a typical Apple user can't really do much external with their tablet, and that's not a bad thing. It's just Microsoft has opened those up. 32 gig. Hello. Oh, that's Andrew. 32 gig and 64 gig models available on the RT version. Again, that's on an ARM processor. The Windows 8 Pro, which is due to come out 3 months after the RT version releases, a little bit beefier. It's a Core i5 processor. Again, that same 10.6-inch screen. Some upgraded micro SD slots, as well as a USB 3 slot, which is pretty interesting. A mini, looks like, what's that? Is it mini DVI port that's in there? And some other really interesting, some other interesting hardware innovations that they've put into it to make it a pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. I'm a little concerned that it's a little long after the launch, but we'll talk about that some more. What I kind of want to do is I kind of get your opinions before we dig too deep into this, and get a feel for you guys. Just kind of in a panel discussion. We'll let Andrew come back in. He had to take a call, but John Zadler, let me start with you. I know you've been kind of following this a bit for the tablet. What were your thoughts? What did you see in there? What'd you like? What'd you not like?
Well, first, I was there when they were, I was watching live with the presentation. It was cool because they were showing these graphics, these rectangles. And it's like, what's that all about? What's that all about? So when they finally, came out with, yeah, look, we got some, some prototype boxes here, tablets. I was surprised. I said, well, good, at least. And at the end, I got to say, I wasn't disappointed. Because, sometimes Microsoft, when they have their shows and stuff like that, you kind of come out saying, they kind of, hit on a few things, but then they missed on a few things. People kind of take away that, it wasn't, fulfilling. And I found it was really, really cool, especially, like you said, that they came out with not just one box, but two boxes. And the other thing I just wanted to mention was that's it. I noticed the Windows RT version. It's a thinner model. They're both the same size, like you said, the 10.6-inch screen, but mm-hmm. one's 9.3 millimeters, and the other one, because it's an i3, and that one's a 13.5 millimeters, so it's a little bit thicker, And I think it adds a little bit weight. I think it's 2 pounds, whereas the other one is just 1.6. And what's important, and what I found interesting is that the second one, the Windows 8 Pro version, is going to be 90 days after the Windows RT version is going to be shipped, and they expect that to be around the same time as the launch as Windows 8. But what folks have to kind of remember, so I guess the whole idea there is that they're trying to sell the first one first, kind of get you hooked on the smaller model, and then, that's it. If you're not willing to wait to get the other one, you'll grab this one. But what's important to remember is that, the Windows RT version, the Windows 8 version, you cannot install any of your other software that you like, all your whatever Photoshop and all your games and stuff like that. This is only strictly Windows 8 RT stuff, like the tiles, and maybe there's going to be some apps, but all those apps have to be rewritten and stuff. So you can't just unfortunately, if the average guy goes out there and says, okay, I'll take the Windows RT version, it's cheaper, I'll grab that one, and then he'll start putting on his programs and stuff, it's not going to run that stuff. So that's an important point to remember.
Yeah. So John, what you're saying, right? So if I own a copy of Windows software, let's say it's Lightroom, right? It's Adobe Lightroom or something like that. And when I get that RT tablet, I'm not going to just be able to load that software on there, right? It has to be software that's found in the Microsoft marketplace that it exists. These apps have to be approved. I mean, it's a lot like when the iPad came out, right? That you're only going to get the apps that Apple gave you. In this case, you're only going to get the apps that Microsoft gives you. Now, they're touting some 100,000 apps at this point for Windows 8. So I don't know if that's, I don't know how many of those are going to work day one on the tablet. But is that right? I mean, for the average guy,
Yeah.
You only get what Microsoft lets you have, right?
Yeah, and this is why I think this is one of the reasons that with that tablet, they're giving you Office 15, or I'm not sure if it's going to be called Office 15 or Office 2013, but that Office suite there, which is, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think it includes Word. There's something, it doesn't include Outlook. Do you know what it is?
No Outlook. It's Word, Excel, PowerPoint, OneNote.
Yeah. See, so that's it. These are, you know, Windows RT written type of software. So this is, at least, you know, right out the gate, you'll be able to run that software on the desktop. You know, you can't figure that just because it has, you know, like, yes, it has the Metro Tile interface, and you'll be able to download those tile programs. That'll work on your Windows 8 desktop, on your tablet, even I think on the Windows 8 phone, there might even be a version that, like that said, they said the only difference in code will be actually because of the size of the screen, that on the phone they have to kind of make that the modification. But basically, it's supposed to be all cross-platform. As far as, you know, when you get into the desktop, again, you can't use any regular software. You'll be able to use that Office suite, and I think you'll be able to use Internet Explorer 10. I think they're supposed to be having a version for the desktop. And then that's it. You're kind of limited there. Then you have to be looking at, you know, for your mail program, you'll have to be using those the built-in Windows, you know, the tiles, the Metro tiles, which I find, I gave them a pass on the first build of the, release preview, but then on the release candidate, I thought that they would, you know, make those add-ins, the Metro apps a little bit more mature, but I still find they're on the weak side, you know? So, hopefully, by the time launch comes around, you know, more of these developers, now that they see this tablet, that Microsoft is going full steam ahead, that they will, you know, invest in making desktop apps, which, again, now for that are, you know, customized for these tablets. Because that's one of the thing, right? I mean, I was kind of complaining about the Windows 8 desktop interface. I said, like, I don't like this. It's getting too plain. They're trying to make it, you know, they're getting rid of the Aero Glass and all this stuff. It's like, I don't like it. I'm using it on the desktop. And I was really upset about that. But now, in light of seeing the Surface coming out, now it's like, oh, okay, the light bulb goes on. This is why they're pulling out all that stuff, so we can run on these type of, you know, these slates or these tablets or Ultra notebooks and all of that stuff. So that's it.
You know, John, you mentioned mail, and I've been running Windows 8 now for a couple weeks on a laptop, and I've got the mail going for both Exchange and for Yahoo and for my Live ID account, so three different mailboxes. And if you were an HP, a WebOS user, the mail program works a lot like that on Windows 8. It's just a unified mail program. You can either show them all together or all separate. I have them separated out because I don't want them all together. I'd been talking about this a couple weeks ago on a podcast, and so one of the guys said, "Hey, I think there's more to the mail program than you know." Kind of walked me through some things. I actually kind of like the new mail app, and I don't think it's the final version of it. I had the Nokia phones, right, for the last 4 weeks, and that mail app on Windows 7 or Windows Phone 7 is more like the Outlook web access. It looks just like it. It's very similar, but the mail on Windows 8 is not. So I actually like it a little better. I think they'll kind of update that client, but it is something you have to kind of get used to, and it is kind of different. So, John, hold your thoughts. Let me move over to John Stutzman real quick. We'll get first impressions, and we'll come back around and talk about some of these things. John, did you hear the announcement on Monday? What have you thought since?
Well, I, of course, heard the announcement on Monday, but, I mean, like everybody else, you know, I was had to rush home and find out what the big deal was. But my thoughts about it, and I think I've shared this with several people, was I really liked the Pro. I liked the specs that I saw the Pro. I'm a little concerned about some of the connectivity issues with had looked at where they were saying it was just going to be Wi-Fi only. I don't know if that's correct or not. There's a couple of business publications that said Wi-Fi only. And I would really think something like that I could see like an entry level of the Pro maybe being Wi-Fi only. But you should have the option of moving up to 3 or 4G.
Sure.
The things I like about the Pro is the versatility, being able to take it out. It would be a substitute for my laptop. As far as the Surface RT, I mean, I already have an iPad, so I really don't need another one of those. So it's, I would be looking at something more to move to from the laptop. So I would be looking at the kind of power that's in the Pro, maybe being able to work with a touch screen and being able to do things with it that I've played around with SplashTop with Windows 8 being remoted into an iPad, and I like some of the connectivity issues that you could do with it. One of the things that I did find difficult, and that the Pro and the RT address, is the keyboard. Like when I was setting up the email account on the Windows 8, and I was trying to do it on the iPad. Well, you had this little bitty keyboard pop up, and I'm trying to enter things in, and it's difficult to do. And a person like me who studied typing in high school, I'm a touch typist. I prefer to do that. I'm not a hunt and peck type of typist. And when I saw the announcement and saw the keyboards options for both the RT and the Surface Pro, I think that could be maybe a killer app, I guess you could say, for the Surface as compared to its competition that's out there.
Now, you haven't bought an external external keyboard for your iPad?
No, I just I have a laptop that's it's about an 11 inch, so it's it has a dual core in it, so it's not a net top, but it's pretty small, and that's what I prefer to use. The iPad, you can use it, and it's very versatile, but you're not going to do a lot of typing on it. You're not going to do a lot of number crunching on it. So I prefer something with a little more oomph.
Okay. All right.
And it would be nice if the Pro had enough extra RAM that, you could even put a virtual machine on there. So you could have your Windows 8 Pro and maybe have a Windows 7 running the virtual on it, or some other machine.
Yeah, they're talking about the capacities being 64 gig and 128 gig. I guess if you went with the upgraded 128, that might
you
give
could
you
do it. Yeah,
to be able to squeeze that in and do VM on it.
And if you had 8 gig of RAM, you could do it. Yeah, sorry.
No, you're good, John. And I'm glad you disclosed that you own an iPad. We'll come back to that here in a second as we come back around for some more panel discussion. But Christian, I wanted to get your take on this. What do you think? Where does it land for you and your ecosystem?
Well, I mean, we still haven't seen the price ranges yet, but I think just the hardware in itself is quite more up to speed with the modern technology. I mean, if you look at the processor that the iPad's running, it certainly manages well the software that it manages on the iPad, being the iOS operating system. However, you're looking at a Windows Pro laptop, same form factor, same size screen, same overall dimensions and weight, and you're looking at a quad-core i5 for the top line, and that's all. You can do a lot with an i5, and I mean, some of the top-end business laptops that are out there and being used every day are in much larger form factors running in that i5, so I think that's actually kind of key in the enthusiast community is really going to take advantage of that extra hardware power. In terms of storage space, it's going to outcompete naturally having the external storage options, and that I don't think the iPad, you can get larger than 64 gigabytes, and Windows already coming out with the punch with 128, which may not sound too important at first, but when you think of how much space the digital ebooks take up and the music and the videos, that's really kind of key too. And I think what's really going to make or break the Surface at this point is the successful adoption of the Metro interface it's running at. And I think I kind of fall along the lines of some of what John said, was that I really, the whole idea of pushing to Metro wasn't making sense to me from a desktop perspective, but I can definitely see it in this capacity. It makes much more sense to me. I don't know if that necessarily means I like it showing up for Windows 8 desktops. I mean, I think I'd still like to have some kind of distinguishment, but yes, in this environment, on this kind of hardware, this interface makes sense. And I mean, I wouldn't want to, I don't think anyone would want a tablet like that. I mean, and think about it, the netbook screens are 10.1 inches and you're using a mouse pad and a start menu button and all that jazz, but I think in this form factor you wouldn't want anything but something convenient like the tiles. And I think it's enough of a difference from the way the Apple iOS system looks that the combination of the Metro interface and the stronger hardware is going to really pick up a lot of adopted users that would probably normally be looking forward to iPad 3 or the upcoming iteration of it. So I must admit, first impression is a good one for me.
Showing, I have the John Zadler. Thanks for throwing a picture of it up there. I'm kind of putting out their PR picture of it and sitting on a stand with the keyboard.
Go ahead, Christian. Well, just what you're looking at. That's the other thing too. Is, I mean, you have to buy a third party vendor for the keyboard. Microsoft's throwing in a really gorgeous stand and keyboard design that kind of plays. It looks very versatile and easy to manipulate, whereas you're kind of not that it's a clutch necessarily, but you're not working within the original design of what the iPad was with buying those third-party keyboards and stuff. But this is very nicely streamlined. And now I'd have to get my fingers on it and see if I like the feel of the keyboard, but at least the functionality and the design of it is smart, I think. I mean, if for people who are carrying around netbooks, this is probably going to move. This is going to be a transition point where I think you're going to start to see less and less of the netbook and more of this stuff as Windows 8 starts to kick in.
Yeah, this could easily replace my laptop at work. I mean, it's got enough. And I've been using Windows 8 now for about 2 or 3 weeks full-time as much as I can. And it's got ActiveSync integration with Exchange, and so I can get work email, and I can, I've loaded the Office apps, what's available to us right now, because I don't have all the Office pieces yet, but that works just fine, and the keyboard's nice. Thanks, Christian. Andrew, your initial impression of what you saw and what you think.
Ooh. I think if I could get past the operating system itself, I like the form factor of the hardware. I'm very much on the same page with Christian. I think the keyboard looks fantastic. The fact that it's got a Gorilla Glass screen should alleviate most of the concerns that people would have around that keyboard scratching the hell out of the screen itself. A lot of the guys around me at work get really upset with fingerprints on screens. The introverts amongst us. So that to me is probably a little bit of a concern for people like that. But that's a general concern around the interface itself. I think it really remains to be seen what comes to market when it gets released. I mean, this is obviously a teaser. And we all know that prototypes can vary fairly significantly from the time they're a prototype to when they hit the market as a final release. So it'll be.
Oh, we lost Andrew for a second there.
Fence.
Yeah, say that sentence again, Andrew, because you cut out. Can you hear us? Say it again.
Say what again?
Oh, say everything. That last sentence again, because you cut out on that last sentence.
Yeah, I'm on the fence. I want to see it come out in the real world before I would make a decision as to whether or not I personally would go for it.
Yeah. Okay.
I still don't think Windows 8 is going to make it prime time in the corporate space.
Okay.
Which is, so I think, where something like this would shine.
That's a very fair. I think it's a very fair thing to say. Yeah, we'll come back to that here, because I want to talk a little bit about that. I've heard two things. I've heard two things this week in the community that's been said, The word vaporware has come up a million times in the various circles that I've been reading in. In other words, Microsoft, you have said this before. You've been promising these things for a long time. Why does it take you so long to deliver product, right? I mean, why announce it now and still not have a launch date, right? I mean, they should have said this and then said they're going to be available on Friday, you know? And so that's been a major complaint, of course, that I've heard out there is that that Microsoft can't deliver anymore with any sense of urgency. The second interesting point I heard on This Week in Google, the newest one that just came out on Leo Laporte's network, interesting concept, and this is, I think, a positive for Microsoft, is Android had trouble getting off the ground for a year, for its first year. And then Google just said, screw it, we're going to make our own phone, and they made a reference phone, right, with the Nexus. And they came out, and it didn't really sell. I don't think it was intended to sell. It was an idea of here's what how we envision the handset, and it's supposed to do and look like this. Now manufacturers go make phones that look similar to this. And it wasn't long after the Nexus One came out that Samsung and HTC kind of jumped in with some really decent-looking Android phones and moved Android from being nothing to 900,000 activations a day or whatever inflated number Google is using now. But do you think, guys, that that Microsoft's taking a page from Google and that really this device is just a reference device? Because there's been a lot of talk about how this is going to piss off the OEMs and that, you know, right? I mean, now what are the OEMs going to do? Well, go ahead, Andrew.
I think to answer your question, I think it probably is a reference device, but I think it'll be interesting to see if they get it past the reference device that was the Kin.
What do you mean?
Well, like the Kin sort of never really happened, did it?
Yeah, well, that was the Kin. I mean, that was a phone. Well, yeah. No, I see what you're saying.
I mean, I think from what I see through the OEM channel, that I watch, I haven't seen anything with a keyboard attached to it yet, like this. I think the form factor's on par with what some of the vendors are already mooting at doing. So you look at something like the Asus Transformer and the Android tablet. I think something like that would translate very well into a form factor like this, with the snap-on, snap-off keyboard.
Right.
And then close it up and have a hard shell device once it's closed. I think it is probably a reference device. Whether the OEMs pick it up or take a leaf out of it remains to the OEM and whether they see it's got the market share potential or not.
Yeah, you see that's a bit one thing that I kind of say would say that it was a negative as far as the show is that unlike Apple, which, you know, that's it. They say, oh, we got this device, blah, blah, blah. It's available now, you know? And it's great. Or you can pre-order.
Yeah.
So it will be available. Like you said, this is vaporware. There's none, you know, they're just prototypes and there's none of them already available. And, you know, that's it. Is this just an idea to kind of get the guys moving into that direction of saying, look, this is what's available. This is what you can do. So I would like to see it, you know, come out. But I think somebody had made a reference about, like, usually companies that try to do both software and hardware, they usually fail at one or the other. And so hopefully that this is not an indication that Microsoft will fail with this.
Well,
hardware.
Apple's different in that case, right? I mean, they're certainly being very successful with both.
I think in the reference to the original Nexus too, the original Nexus was very much an HTC phone. Because it was a partner phone again, and I think where HTC shone is they got the leg up on the rest of the vendors because they already had access to the code and the chance to optimize it with sense over the top of the OS.
But Samsung quickly blew past them.
Oh, absolutely! I mean, who doesn't want a Galaxy S3 at the moment?
Well, yeah, until it blows up in your hand.
Yeah, true.
that's hopefully that's just an isolated case. I know there's a lot of listeners who are really looking forward to that Samsung phone. Bill Pullman was out in, and Bill's a regular guest host here on on this podcast. Bill was out at a Microsoft store this last weekend and saw a Samsung device that was running Windows 8 on it, and quickly tweeted some tweeted some pictures and had to go through security guards to get access to it, and they let him touch it.
And they let him take a picture.
They did, which is pretty amazing. I think that was a Samsung device. Chances are, do you guys think that this let's just for a second, whatever this device is coming from Microsoft, is this made from Samsung, do you think?
That's what Paul Thurrott had said on What the Tech.
I think I heard that too, yeah.
He seemed pretty adamant that it would be, or that it is a Samsung.
Which is pretty great, right? Yeah. I mean, that's pretty great that it would be a Samsung device. I mean, that we know they are making great equipment right now, right? I mean,
I love aside the TVs.
Aside from the phone that's blowing up, the one phone, right? I don't want to start rumors or anything like that. It's all out in the news, but they do make great equipment, right? I mean, and so that would be a great thing for if it came out as Samsung.
I'm watching you on a Samsung monitor right now as we speak. So,
yeah.
And it's 5 years old and it's still beautiful.
Yeah, well, I tend to think Samsung can pull it off with this. You know, if anybody could pull it off, that's one of the companies like that can do that. Because that's I find with like especially as far as the keyboard, like this is something new. This is I was really surprised that you know a detachable magnetic keyboard, you know, 3 millimeters thick, and what was cool is that you have the option between that. This one I think is called the touch cover, and the other one's called the type cover. So the other one's like thicker. So I guess if you got the pro version, and maybe you know, because one is like sensitive, right? The touch sensitive. The keys don't actually move. It's just your pressure of your finger. So you know, like I don't want this thing falling apart in 6 months. You know, so right. Hopefully these you know somebody like Samsung can you know. I've done some testing on that and can say, these keyboards are good. But
I'm not sure about the hot pink keyboard, though.
Oh, come on. You know you want one.
It looks good. Look how thin that is.
And, yeah.
You know, that's a membrane. I've typed on a keyboard like that before. Maybe not quite. Yeah, that's a great picture of it right there, John. That's maybe not quite that thin, but it does take a little bit of getting used to. I think I would prefer a little bit thicker of a keyboard that maybe has more kind of the traditional keys, but I could get used to this. This is a good looking.
But at least you'll have the choice to get like this keyboard here, which is thicker and it has like movable keys. So and I wonder if that's it. If when you do order these, you know, you'll be able to have like a menu on site there and say, okay, yeah, I want the version with this type of keyboard and the black. And what's nice about the other little extra bell and whistle, I guess, you know, they're trying to get a certain audience, right? Is you know by giving you the different color of the keyboards. Like if you attach the blue keyboard, the background on the monitor will go blue. If you attach the red one, it'll be red. If it's a black one, it'll be black, and so forth. So it's nice that they added that those little tweaks there, and then those whatever colors you want to call them, pastel colors or whatever.
Greg mentioned in chat. He said he'd have one keyboard for home and one at work, and that's the keyboard almost is your docking station, right? I mean, in this case, you just leave that keyboard at work.
I wish that would be the cover for the screen.
Well, I think it is.
I think it is.
Yeah. It is the cover. But, I mean, imagine this. You have a sleeve. Like, I would have a sleeve in my backpack for this device. And I'd have a keyboard at home and a keyboard at work. And when I wasn't traveling around, I would just pick that thing up, throw it in the sleeve, throw it in my backpack. And when I got into work, I'd pull it out and slap it right on the keyboard at work. And I wouldn't have to haul that keyboard around. Not that that'd be a big of a – I mean, it's super thin. But how nice that would be.
Well, the keyboard would be protecting the screen too, so it's and I think that's part of the intention. So
Andrew's point though, if guys are worried about the keyboard damaging the screen in some way or leaving marks on the screen, you could always get a cover that would just come off and use the keyboard as a docking station. That'd work as well.
Yeah.
What are you gonna say? Just a sec, hold on. John, I cut John off. John Sussman, did I cut you off?
No, you didn't.
Oh, okay, good. Andrew?
Oh, I was thinking this hardware that's come out in the teaser looks to me it looks a little bit Asus. If you look at the when you look at the back of it, that panel across the back with the camera in it is very very similar to the Asus Transformer in the form factor in the case. It's to what I've seen in it. So that panel at the very top of the screen.
Okay.
Yeah, that's another thing they mentioned. Yes, if you want to talk about the cameras for a second, they said that the way the cameras are tilted, that if that thing is, that's it, on your desk, they actually have the camera tilted so that you're, you know, it's not coming straight perpendicular to the machine. Like, it's at the right angle so that it catches your image properly.
Hmm.
And then like we could see in this image here, there's a camera in the rear. I don't know what the megapixel, anybody find out what the resolution of those cameras were?
You'd have to say 5 or 8 megapixel, wouldn't you?
And the other thing to point out was, I think as far as the Windows RT version, it's USB 2 because the ARM processor doesn't support USB 3. And that's where the bonus is, where when you're going with the Windows 8 Pro, you'll get USB 3.
USB 3, yeah.
Yeah, with the i5, yeah.
Yeah, which means then it becomes a traveling consumption device because you can get your media off it at a reasonable speed to watch it, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think the monitor, the screen resolution is HD. I think it's true HD or true HD, where 1080. Whereas the Windows RT is 720. It's HD, but it's 720 HD. Mm-hmm. That's what I heard.
You know what would be nice with, and I've been thinking about this. I got in a little bit of a debate with an iPad guy, and you know, he was talking about this USB. It came up over this USB port, and he was kind of like, oh, you know, that's so 2005 USB ports. Ha ha. You know. And I got thinking, well, maybe he's right that, you know, do we really need USB ports on our portable devices? And then I got thinking, you know, it would be kind of nice if you're on a long trip in order to in not to have to, especially on an ARM device with only 32 gig, you could, you know, bring another 32 gig drive with you that had your movies on it, right? You could load the movies on there, plug that thing in, and watch them right from the USB stick. And so it does give you some additional storage functionality on it as well. And, you know, you can keep things kind of off the, if you want to. It'd be nice, I would think, wouldn't you think?
Yeah. Well, the other thing I was thinking is also, like, John, you were saying about the 3G. I mean, can you get a USB 3G dongle that you can plug into this device? And then maybe that's it. If they're not making it, you know, 3G, then maybe you'd be able to get it that way.
Well, I guess the other thing is, don't forget, it's got a micro SDXC port on it, and those cards are certified up to 2 terabytes. Wow. So there's your storage on the tip of your fingertip.
Yeah.
On your fingertip.
If you need that much storage.
Yeah.
Gary was saying in chat, he said, movies, what are you going to plug that thing into when you're on the plane? Now, I know not all planes have power available there. Has anybody heard anything on battery life? That's kind of been a quiet, in the background. Anybody heard anything on battery life?
If you have to ask, they don't want to tell you.
That'll be interesting because the i5, for the Pro at least, with the i5, I'm interested to see what the wattage is going to be.
Well, it has a bigger battery. John, what does your iPad get you?
Well, I was looking at the specs for the iPad 3, or the third iPad, I guess it's not the 3. It's got 42.5 watt-hours capacity, which I think is the biggest of the iPads. And the Pro is a little bit smaller at 42 watt-hours. And the Surface RT is 31.5.
So what does that mean from an average guy standpoint? Translate that for us.
That was my only concern with looking at that, because when you look at the Intel i5 Ivy Bridges, I mean, even the ultra low powered ones, they still, I think with 4 cores, you're going to be looking at more than the dual core that you have in the iPad, in the current iPad, or the newest iPad. So it's going to be tough to get that 10 or 9 hours.
Okay.
And that could be a problem, because I know with our iPad, we can run all day with it. You know, we go on a trip and it's charged up when we get in the car, and it's down to maybe 20% or so when we're pulling into the motel or something, you know, that evening. but then we've been using it all day. And I would think somebody with an RT on a trip, a great application would be having like a navigation system. I mean, with that big screen, that would be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
If you could set that thing up and have that screen, you could use it for navigation. But then if, you know, if you're going to burn up the power in just a few hours, well, then you got to have a way to plug it in into the car, you know, into the power supply.
So you're saying so the RT 31.5 watt hours, right, is what it's advertised as, and the Windows 8 Pro 42 watt hours. The iPad 3 had what again?
42.5.
So it's more battery, not much more, but that would translate into a long, depending on the efficiency of the operating system and how you use it. So side to side, the iPad might last a little bit longer.
Well, it's got a dual core, so we don't know what the difference in efficiency is between its dual core and the quad core i5.
Yeah, on Ivy Bridge. So, yeah.
And it could be they're roughly the same, in which case you're looking roughly the same runtime.
Okay.
But then if you have to go and plug in a Dougal or something to be able to use 3G because it's not part of the system, I think that's going to chew up more power than if it was built in.
Okay.
But like you said, Andrew, the little car there, that port, do they make any 3G like adapters or whatever that would fit in that small port? Because, you know, like a USB stick, it would extend the machine, right, outside the machine, whereas that card, I don't know what that's like. Is that like an SD card that actually goes like right into the machine?
Yeah, they're a micro SD card. Let me share my screen for those in the chat. So we're looking at something like that one.
2 terabyte, what?
Yeah, at 300 megabytes a second.
That's crazy.
For data access speeds.
So how much is that?
Oh,
it's like those little pills you put on your tongue and, you know, they just evaporate there, you know? Like, boop, there goes my 2 terabytes.
So how much is one of those?
If you got to ask, you can't afford. I honestly don't know.
More than
that's what I'm thinking. It's a lot more than a Western Digital 1 terabyte little hard drive.
Well, but
we've got a buy link here. Let's have a look.
think while you're finding that, Andrew, think of the application where that fits in a little USB snub nose. You know, John, we were talking about you don't want it sticking out. Well, they got those little stub-nosed USB ports where you stick them in and just the hint of around, you know, of the edge of it kind of sticks out. That wouldn't extend the size of it at all. If you could fit
and then I think the other thing is if you wanted to connect, it's a little high up on the machine, but if let's say if you had a wired network, you know, you can plug in probably a network dongle. You know, so you'd be able to put your RJ45 in one side and the other side. Because that's one of the things is I think they didn't say it supported like a cellular connection, like an always-on internet type of thing, you know. I think they were talking about in the Windows 8, it's supposed to be able to support that when you go from one network to another network, like you won't lose connectivity. It can just jump from one network to the next. So that's supposed to be something that's built into the OS. So I wonder if that any type of thing, because they did say something about 2 antennas being in the machine, you know, for better reception.
Now think about this. Other Jim brings this up in chat, and he says, you know, he uses a MiFi device. So instead of thinking about, okay, how do I get 3G out of the device? What if I use the Wi-Fi and carry, you know, just carry a MiFi for when I don't have Wi-Fi connectivity? How about John Stutzman, how about that as an option for your 3G connectivity?
That would work, and I was just I had a thought, which could be dangerous, but what if you know the Windows 8 that I mean not the Windows the well yeah the Windows 8 phone when that comes out, if that can operate as a router or share.
Sure, it becomes a MiFi, right?
It'll be its own MiFi.
Yeah, you would tether it.
Well, then you'd have a reason to have a Windows 8 phone and a Windows 8 tablet. And
wow, that happened right here. Brilliant.
Yeah, you just go to the Windows Store or the Microsoft Store, you just load up on Windows products, you know?
Yeah, well, it's not a bad – I mean, okay, aside from the dominance in that, you know, that area not being there, but – it's not a bad idea, because it would be both a phone, right? It'd sell both products, right? So, hey, we're selling the tablet, and right out of the chute, it's going to have Wi-Fi only. But if you get the Windows phone, you can tether it, and that's your data plan. And we'll let you share both on one data plan.
You know, that would actually be pretty brilliant.
Yeah, you should patent that quickly or something.
That'll be how much? $1,500? That's
well, not too much. I mean, if you're going to change phones anyway, I mean, when that drive, well, first of all, we'd have to get people buying this, but that's a great idea, John.
Yeah. The thing is, you know, you buy, how much is the phone going to be worth physically? I think it's what, it'll probably be a $400 or $500 phone.
Well, AT&T, you'll probably be able to get it for $50, you know. So
yeah.
With a two-year plan.
That's it. It would be nice if these guys would have been nice, like when if they would have announced prices, and it would have been cool if Microsoft would have been able to say for the, you know, the tablet $199, you know, $199 and $299, like up. Let's say you give some money up front, and then the next 3 years, or let's say 2 or 3 years, is let's say $25 a month. You know, because I'm sure people would love to be able to, you know, pick that up. You know, so your initial cost is, let's say, $100 or $200. So just like a plan, you know, whereas, and then you pay in the monthly instead of paying $600 or $700. Right,
they're kind of moving that way with Xbox, right? I mean, that's not unheard of in the ecosystem. They've talking about releasing some Xbox. What do you got? Andrew's bringing up some more of those cards.
I found the pricing. They're not cheap, but at the moment, a Class 10 128 gigabyte card is $260 Australian.
Okay, recommended well, that'll retail come down. Remember SSD drives a year ago?
Yeah, recommended retail of $420 though, so they're not cheap.
Yeah.
But it's new technology, of course. So yeah, Moore's law. It'll be $50 in 6 months.
Yeah. The way things are going right now.
So you're saying the 2 terabyte is going to be a lot more?
Yeah.
you're talking what, north of $1,000?
I would have thought north of about 3,000 at that ratio.
Easy, yeah.
Like where did that thing go?
I've lost it again.
Around with your glasses on top of your head, and you're like, where's my glasses? It's like, where's my little 2 terabyte?
All right, so I don't normally tell...
You didn't put my card reader in the dishwasher, did you? Washing machine.
I don't normally tell personal stories about my family on the show. I do all the time. The about 6 months ago, my dad was sitting at the kitchen table, and my mom was, you know, the routine was they would give him the pills. You know, okay, take this. So she's going through the routine, and she gets done, and a few minutes pass, and he says, you know, honey, where's my hearing aid? And she's like, well, I handed it to you. And he had taken it like a, you know, taken it like a pill, and away it went. If Zadler's description holds true, you know, like the little thing you put on your tongue for a breath freshener, put the 2 terabyte drive on there and it's gone. That would be too funny.
Not really.
No, that'd be expensive. Although those will come down pretty quickly. Any other features? We haven't talked about the magnetic. There's a magnetic docking feature on there that we really. That's an exact ripoff of the iPad. Any comments on that? Except it just being a ripoff.
I like the idea that it's very simple. I mean, that's it. The guy just put you saw in the video, you put the tablet on the keyboard and it just grabbed it. So it's not like something you got to button up. I'm sure, like, you know, the average person will be able to, you know, connect up that keyboard. I'm just hoping that the, you know, that's it. Because the keyboard, I think it's Bluetooth. Is it Bluetooth or it's actually making the connection through that? Because I think there's five little dots or something like that there. But but this keyboard, it might need a battery, or is it taking the battery off the device itself? Wonder if it's.
I read that it takes its connection from the device, but
okay.
I guess it's still yet to be seen, isn't it?
Yeah, there's not much room in there. There's a lot of questions like that. I'm sure that keyboard does not take very much power, so it's, you know, that's a pretty. I've run big, you know, big monster wireless keyboards for 2 years or 3 years on a single set of batteries. So I can't imagine it would be all that much. Let me ask you guys this question. So all we've talked about is a 10-inch screen. Do they offer a seven? Does it matter if they offer a 7-inch phablet size and make this thing? Certainly, they've got the ability to take it down from anywhere from a 10 to a 4-inch screen. It'll work in that way. Any, you think we'll see any screen smaller than 10-inch on this?
No, I think that's I like the fact that as opposed to the form factor of like the iPad, which is more of a 4x3, right? And this guy's more of a widescreen. So at least when you're watching videos, you'll have less of a bar or maybe no bars. And the fact that it is widescreen, well then, you know, it proportionally there for the keyboard is a certain width. So if they had a 7-inch device, I don't think they'd be able to come out with a keyboard that would be 7-inch that would be comfortable for people to use. And then when you start getting higher, you know, if the thing was a 13-inch or 15-inch, like some laptops, it's like, you know, might as well then just use a laptop. So I think it's a pretty good size.
Yeah, I'm with John.
Okay.
It sort of becomes a crossover device to a phone otherwise, doesn't it, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you get anything smaller, you might as well just get the phone.
Yeah.
Christian, if I gave you one of these, would it replace your laptop? If you got the Windows 8 Pro, and would you use it like you use your laptop?
It's certainly more powerful than my netbook in the same form factor, so.
Yeah. It does give you a few more options, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe not as cheap.
Maybe but not, but maybe.
For what you do and for some of the programming that you do, would you attempt to do some of that on there?
Yeah. Yeah, I could see myself doing that.
Andrew, you'd mentioned maybe not for the enterprise at this point. You have some skepticism. And I've been saying for a long time this is the device for the enterprise. So what's your skepticism of it, of low adoption in the enterprise?
Most of the people I work with run multiple monitors. And I don't see that this is going to have the grunt based on what we're seeing at the moment to potentially run that second or third monitor. I see it's got, you know, the mini display port, but does that mean mini display port as an extender or mini display port as the as a duplicated screen? So, you know, does that make it more of a consumer device, or does it make it an enterprise device? So, yeah, I'm not sure.
No, Oh, go ahead, John.
I would say if you're like a sales rep, you know, then you're on the go, you're on the road and you want to show people, like, let's say a real estate agent or, you know, a car salesman or whatever, you know, then that type of device would be good. But, you know, even like a laptop, you know, even when you're on the road, you can kind of open up your laptop and still use the keyboard. This thing, like, you're not going to be able to do that. You have to put it down on a flat surface and, you know, like basically at a desk and stuff. So even that it's, unless you want to use the keyboard, if you're not going to use the keyboard, then okay, if you go straight with just the monitor, just using it as a touch screen, then fine.
I think as a traveling device, it'd be fantastic, because I think you're not going to be let down by the shortfalls of iPad in that you don't have the access to a full application suite.
The other thing I like about it is that they're talking about is what Microsoft was talking about. What is it, smart glass? That technology, so it's a bit like to kind of connect all these devices together, because again, with like the Windows Phone 8, right, it's supposed to be more or less the Windows 8 OS on that device, and then this will have the Windows 8, and then your desktop will have the Windows 8 software. So apparently, and you've seen a lot of people using their iPads to watch their videos or try to send it to their Apple TV and stuff like that. You know, use the iPad for, you know, to find their let's say their TV shows or their movies, and then that's it, move it over there. So at least now, and then the other thing is the Xbox, right? They're supposed to. I even got an update just this week for my Xbox. I got a new dashboard and stuff. So using that smart glass technology there, that's, I could see people sitting at the couch with one of these, and that's, you flip the keyboard around or just completely take it off. Because that's the other thing. They said that there's an accelerometer built into the keyboard, right? So when it's flipped to the back, it knows, okay, you know, don't, you know, if the guy's actually hitting it with his knees, don't type anything on the screen. So so that would be interesting to see it used in that type of dynamic where, you know, you're using it to look at your content and stuff, and then boom, you send it to your Xbox or your phone.
Mm.
Have you followed any of that smart glass stuff? Did anybody hear anything about that?
I heard a little bit about it. I do think, John, as you were talking about that, I all of a sudden was thinking, oh man.
Oh, Hawaii 5.0?
Yeah. If we, no, that would be your phone ringing. The,
I meant the whole, you know, throw the image off the surface onto the screen.
Yeah, I know, I know, I know, I know. I was just joking with you. Because your phone always rings the Hawaii 5.0 theme just as we get the show started. So, no, I mean, I think now I asked that question earlier, will they make a smaller version of this? And you guys said no. And then I thought, oh, wait a minute, the phone is the smaller version of this.
Right.
Right? I mean, it's the same, it's almost the same thing. And so we do have some smaller versions of this because this will be Windows 8 on the phone. And we're going to talk, I want to remind some folks just before we kind of start wrapping this thing up, we're going to talk about the future of the Windows phone this weekend. So Sunday, 4 p.m. Central, I've gathered a cast of characters. Many of them are in chat right now. As we speak, and if you're listening to this podcast and you think you might have something to say about the future of Windows Phone, chime in. A lot of information has come out over the last week about what's coming out for Windows Phone 8 and some of its new capabilities and such, and so I'll do a little bit of plug. This weekend, theaverageguy.tv/live, 4 p.m. Central, we'll have a podcast just like this one, and we'll be talking about Windows Phone. That's why we're not talking about Windows Phone here, but... we'll do that this weekend on Sunday. That's the, what's Sunday's date? Is that the 25th? Is that right? 24th.
Yeah, I would like you to cover something when you get to that on the phone there. Yeah. There's supposed to be some technology. What was it there? The guy was showing where tap and send or something like that.
Sure. Yeah. And then he used
some three-letter code for something there. Like he had some kind of he had somebody's paper business card.
It's called NFC.
Okay. Right? Yeah. If you can cover that, please.
Yeah.
I'm still on the unknown.
It's an emerging wireless technology that lets phones share things over short distances. In Windows Phone 8, it helps make sharing photos, office docs, and contacts info easier. Just tap your phone to another NFC-equipped device. And it's transferred. Wasn't that in Zune? Couldn't you shake it or share it or?
Yeah, Zune had some kind of Wi-Fi where you can send your stuff to the other person, but I think that was over Wi-Fi. And it's like that's it. Why would you use this technology as opposed to just sending it over the internet? Why do you need that close proximity? I was thinking is maybe it has something to do with safety or security.
Well, and
some Android phones as well, isn't it? For payment systems and Google Pay Wave or something.
Mm-hmm, that's coming as well. I mean, everybody wants to get the wallet into the phone. And so you don't have to carry credit cards and, you know, it's tap to send and approve and you're done. NFC stands for near field communication, by the way. They're reminding me of that in chat. So for the average guy, near field. But I know, excuse me, this isn't the first time, I mean, this is not the first lick of the ice cream cone where we've tried to get devices close to each other where the transfers data. The old Palm devices used to do that. You could do it via IR. And so they had to point them at each other. You know, and then you'd transfer.
Yeah, I remember trying to sync my palm with, I guess another palm, and I was on the train. And the train started to move, and the other guy was outside the window. So it's like he's trying to run along the platform, and I'm trying, come on, send it over.
Nice.
Back all in right. the day, infrared.
This is the part of the show where we all of a sudden drop into nostalgia and talk about the way it used to be. So, John, we'll cover that.
In the days when I walked barefoot to school through 10 foot of snow.
That's right. That's right.
Gravel underneath for a bit of grip.
And glass, broken glass. Lots of broken glass.
Oh, well, I ate that for my breakfast with milk.
Last thing I want to cover... is the apparent lack of apps. And even though there are a bunch out there, a lot of the key ones are missing. The way I want to frame this question is, will this speed up developers to the platform and will we see more apps come out as this comes out? What do you think?
I'm thinking as far as the Windows RT guy, like that's it. These guys, that machine is going to be completely reliant on Windows RT code. So,
but develop it once, multiple, you know, it could go on the Surface. It could go on the phone. It could run in Windows 8, right? I mean, so you get, you develop it once and play it to three different places.
Yeah. Mm. And hopefully do you know if they're going to be able to, like with the new interface, will they be able to have some kind of tiles that you could put on the Xbox? Or that's, you're kind of stuck with just what
I don't, that I don't know. There. I don't know. Boy, what would happen if they put Windows 8 on the Xbox?
It'd become a usable device.
Oh. Wait a minute.
And that's another thing, right? They're supposed to be talking about, I know Paul Theroux had said something, some 56-page leaked presentation on the new the future Xbox that and they're expecting that machine will take them for the next 10 years, so they got to plan that it'll be upgradable and stuff like that. So it'd be nice to see if and that should be available like next year, I think, so in a year's time,
because
right now apparently the Xbox is really solid, so hopefully that's it. If with Windows, you know, kind of covering all Windows 8 covering all the platform and this and that, then who knows, maybe they might be something like that. I think they brought just now with the update, Xbox update, getting back to that for a minute, I think there's they put a browser in there. I think you can, when I turned it on and I think I saw something for
really
Bing. Yeah,
wow.
You know, again, a lot of people say, you know, why do you need a browser on the Xbox? It's not really practical. I don't know.
John, are you showing us your Windows 8 desktop in VM?
Yeah, it's one of them, and it's the one I'm using as a base for a Hyper-V server.
Mm-hmm.
So it's and you'd mentioned that you know, there are apps, some critical apps out there, but I mean, that haven't been developed yet. But I think when I looked at the store, I saw a lot of interesting apps. I mean, of course, there aren't, everything isn't out there, but from my perspective, there was plenty for me. And the things that they didn't have out there, I could do it by just going into Internet Explorer and creating an app for... Well, in this case, I just pinned it to an article about a CNN Tech article about the Surface.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as far as we may be concerned, is the most important one is the New Egg app. That's there. So I mean, we're ready to go.
I think that's all you need. I mean, this should be the New Egg OS. Right.
Right. I mean, you know, we got a few newsy apps and everything. But one of the things I like about this reminds me in a way of, and I guess I'm showing my age, but when I got my first IBM PC back in the DOS 2.1 days and I wanted a menu system, I wrote a series of batch files that would create a menu system. So I would just go to the menu system, type in a number, hit enter, and it would take me to whatever application I wanted to run, which the killer app back then was 123. But, I mean, now you sort of have the same thing. And the more I use it, the more I like it. And I can come in here and click. I loaded Office 2010, so you can see it in there, Windows Media mm-hmm. Center, the weather, the desktop, and several different, you know.
Did you hack Media Center on there?
No, I just installed it.
Okay.
That's you can get that in the store. Or, I mean, not in the store. It's a an add-on feature.
Okay.
And go to the Windows Super site, and Paul Theroux has an article on how to do it.
How to get that on there, yeah.
Well, yeah, Windows gives you, Microsoft gives you the key for it, and you add it as a feature as if you already had purchased the key. So you enter in their key, and they install it for you.
Oh, okay.
So it's in.
Well,
there.
We know it's coming as an add-on for Windows 8. It's taken out, and it's going to come as an add-on. So it'll still be available to you.
Right. That's So I got it from the store.
Right. Okay.
So in the what is it? The release preview that's out that came out.
I didn't know that. I'll have to try that. I wasn't aware that was available in the store.
So yeah, go to Paul Theroux's super site, and he tells you how to do it.
Sweet.
But what I like about it, and I alluded to it before, was being able to do Hyper-V, which I think for somebody that's kind of a techie that really wants to play around with this stuff, I go up here and I can click Hyper-V and it takes me directly to my desktop, and you can see the machines that I have running right now, and they're not working too hard, but it takes you right to the desktop, and there's a lot of applications if I go back to here.
Now, what are you running this on top of? What kind of box is that running on?
Oh, it's running. It's the Z77X UD5H.
So, I don't know what that is. Tell me.
It's an Ivy Bridge. It's a Gigabyte.
Okay.
See, that's the thing is, if I had it like if I would be using a tablet and stuff, I don't know, like Microsoft, right? They, you know, some stuff they would disable. I was kind of wondering, you know, should you be running any Hyper-V stuff on, like, on a tablet? It's like, is it really meant to be run that way? You know,
because
how are you connecting to your other devices? You need a lot of memory and all this stuff. It's more for a desktop type of box.
Well, I think the Pro could do it if they have enough RAM in it.
Yeah.
And if they have virtualization enabled, you could do it in there. And, you know, you could have things running on it. I see that a lot of the value to it is being able to go out and for a techie with the Pro version, you could do a lot of crunching, do a lot of testing out on the road. And, you know, if you have this capability, I mean, if that Surface doesn't have it, well, then that's something for Acer or Asus or somebody or Dell to come out with in one of their laptops to give you that capability.
True.
I think there's going to be people that want that.
Yeah, and we can't forget this Windows 8 is still going to come out on laptops. So, you know, we're talking a lot about Surface. That's not going to be the only device that is running Windows 8 here in the future.
Right. And, yeah, I just pulled up, I got a version of Windows Home Server version 1 running on it. I changed the background picture, but...
I like that.
It's
cool.
And it runs well. I got 2011 on here, and I have another version of 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And SPS.
You've got a bit of a space theme going on there, John.
yeah, I do. So
NASA nerd.
So yeah,
you're not alone.
This is for Christian. So, yeah, my 2011, I have 2011 running on this, and I have it running on my micro server under 2012, but two different copies. But I've just been playing around with them and seeing what I can do and trying to break things. But I'm convinced. I think it's got a lot of capability. And, when people complain about the Metro Tiles not being nice enough or not being enough, it's like, you know, come on, you know, what do you want to do with it? You know, it's...
It really is just a means to an end, right? I mean, it's just all it really is designed for is for you to push the Internet Explorer so you can get to it, right, from a tablet or click on it to make it go. It does look, you know, John, in this setting that we have it up, and you've got it on a pretty big screen, you know, resolution-wise, it makes a lot more sense to, it really does look good in there with the live tiles. Now, some people don't like those distractions, and I get that. You're not going to give us any secret information, are you, through your spreadsheet, are you, John?
No, all this is just tracking of my utility usage. So Andrew might be interested in that. And it shows my average daily usage, my rolling 12-month, and you can see that my annual usage, it was down to 13 gigawatt hours a year in 2008, and it's been creeping up a little bit to about 14 gigawatt hours a year.
Uh-oh, you better get that looked at.
too many microservers.
Actually, it's gone down from 17 gigawatt hours in 2010, and I instituted some energy efficiency things and
nice.
Replaced a refrigerator, and so you saw a pretty big impact from
that. I got one of those I need to get rid of, too.
It does make a big difference.
Anything else we've run over on time?
Yes, a little bit? Something okay. else. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, go ahead, Christian.
No, I need an introduction to this. This is unacceptable.
What?
He has no idea. All right.
Oh, his writings.
So what happened really today was that Surface came out, and then everyone ganged up and decided that Christian's Corner wasn't important. So Christian's Corner had a little retaliation. So there will be no deal of the week. I'm sorry. Apparently, this Surface tablet that you have to wait for is supposed to be this grandiose deal of the week, and there'll be no tip of the week either, because clearly I can't give tips on something that's not out. So I decided to write some poetry in my sadness just to relieve myself and bring some punny fun back to this topic that was forced down my throat. So
how do you really feel about it?
I wrote a small poem about Johnny coming back home from school to his mother. And he says, well, the mom says, "Hi, honey, what did you have for dinner?" "I had some Windows 8. "Oh, that's wonderful. Did you have any apps on the side?" "Oh, yes, mom. I cleaned out the Windows Marketplace." "How was school today?" "Great. The Metro bus was a really quick ride home." Did you work on any of your homework before you got home?" "No, I hardly scratched the surface of it." "Well, it's Tuesday. Make sure you get up to date with everything." "Well, I'm not going to pull my arm on making sure they get it right anyway. I'm ahead of my work. And I don't feel too secure about it. Too secure about it." You know, that's kind of a bad pun, but whatever.
That's close.
"You still want to make sure you're staying ahead of the game." "I will, but I've been making sure to stay with all my previews of things." "All right, honey, don't dream off looking into the sky while you drive into school tomorrow." "I won't. I'll keep things close to the surface. Besides, I can already see a silver light on how things are looking for tomorrow." "Well, don't be too much of a PowerShell. Make sure you pace yourself tomorrow." "Okay, Ma. Have a good night." So some of those you may have gotten.
Nice, Christian. Glad to see that NASA education hard at work there.
So that's your deal of the week, your tip of the week, your everything.
Your Christian's Corner.
Surface. So, yeah.
Your Christian's Corner. Well, Christian, thanks for taking the poetic license to get through that more of a tome than maybe than poetry, but thanks for your creativity there. And I'll remind folks that we do the podcast every Thursday night, except next week. We do the podcast every Thursday night, 8 p.m. Central, right here at theaverageguy.tv /live. You can also find us on YouTube just by searching The Average Guy TV. Guys, thanks for coming in tonight. John Zadler, thank you for filling in, jumping in, and giving us some really good screenshots of the tablet. Great to have you on tonight.
Thanks a lot, Jim. Thanks, guys.
You bet. John Sussman, thank you for coming in and your new regular spot now. How does it feel to be a new regular on the Home Tech Podcast?
It's better than being an old regular, I'm telling you.
It's fantastic.
And Christian, it's good to have you. Thanks
it's good
for
to be here.
Christian, thanks for coming in. Sorry we kicked you at Christian's Corner to the curb. We have done 77 consecutive podcasts with the Christian Corner.
That's true, and every single one of them have benefited from it.
Christian's Corner. So we'll be back in 2 weeks with a stellar Christian's Corner and a stellar deal of the week.
Hey, and we're also hoping for a stellar guest for Christian's Corner. So and I mean that's going to be some stellar stuff if that works out.
Been working on that. We've actually we're reviving Rich's Random Podcast Generator. Rich and I have been working in the background to land some interview guests, and actually we have a new. It looks like we're going to do a show. We're not going to rename the podcast, but we're going to do a versus. So it'll be him versus me. I'll be covering one thing. He'll be covering another. And a chance to kind of go back and forth on competing products. So we're kind of looking forward to that. Those will be out in the next, I don't know, 3-4 weeks as we put some things together. So if you're a listener to Rich's Random Podcast Generator, it is on its way back. Andrew, thanks for making the long flight in from Melbourne tonight. And being a part of it, good to have you. Hey, did that kidney stone thing ever work its way all the way through?
What a question to pose on the podcast. question.
Everyone wants to know.
It is a NASA topic because at some point in time there'll be a meteor shower. No. That's the answer.
I only mention it because we've publicly talked about it for the last 2 weeks.
I mean,
and I think people want to know. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I feel like I'm getting one on the other side at the moment, though, so that's not necessarily a good thing.
I feel like I feel like he's going to buy a Windows Surface 8 so that he can get distracted on his meteor showering. That's accurate.
Well,
I mean, I don't know how else to tie that back through, Jim. I mean, playing a baseball game, and the ball goes foul left field
foul
the way over here.
Well,
and you're making me do a lot of running, a whole lot.
We'll wrap it up with that then. Thanks for coming out tonight, and thanks for coming out to the Home Tech Podcast. We'll do it again in 2 weeks. Enjoy your week off, and when we come back, we'll have plenty of more technology to talk about. If you do have a question or you'd like us to cover something, send me an email, podcast@theaverageguy.tv, and we will get that right on the show. Guys, thanks for coming out tonight. Everybody have a good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Bye.